don't you start me yakking. Because I won't shut up. But I'm trying to tell you what I felt.
All right, we're continuing with the spoken word tape.
Yeah, and I'm going to do that, and that's going to make me feel real good. And I've got, you know, all the way from big fat hog double knit shopping mamas at Kmart with bouffant hair stories all to about street gangs in New York to crazy stuff, and I feel really good about that. This guy that I'm working with is very good, and we're going to put a lot of strange sounds together. So that's a fun project I'm doing. That poster book came out. Flipside, the very Flipside that just came out, has a one-page article in there written by one of their columnists that he talks about the best band that ever walked the earth was the Big Boys. So, man, if you get a copy of Flipside, read it. I just was like soaring to the sky when I was reading this, and he talked all about how we were uniquely different, did funk, did all this stuff, fucked with the normals, and he got it right on the nose, and I'm so honored by that. So there's been some really positive things come out for me, you know, that's inspired me to, like, do more and go on and do some more goofy stuff. I got a big art zine that I'm finishing up as Christmas presents. That's going to be a, you know, big Xerox thing, but going to have a lot of posters, a lot of writings in it of all my stuff that, you know, shows a period of time of my life right now. And I'm really proud of what I've already got set up and just can't wait to do it, you know. Just, let's go for it. That's good. Some good stuff.
Do the likes of the Big Boys and Dicks have any kind of recognition as important and influential bands in your hometown, say perhaps even the mainstream media there? And tell me more about you guys being inducted into the Texas Music Hall of Fame. Did you guys get in there as the Big Boys, or was it...
No.
Because I know Tim was inducted, and I heard that you were too.
Yes, the Big Boys are not in the Texas Music Hall of Fame. We do have a lot of references in print here to the times back then. People speak about what we did and that we were an influential band and that we were one of the few to really take it out to the world. And I have many, many, many friends that come up to me and go, oh man, remember this time, remember this time. Oh, Biscuit, you did this for me. And Biscuit, I do this now because of you. And that just makes me feel really good, you know. And that does happen. That does happen. And people I've had...
Damn it! What the hell is this? Now we got, like, the Corps doing their drills on, running by our place, yelling, and, like, God damn it.
My Lord, that's so crazy.
All right, here comes the third one. Dude, close the windows, man.
Oh, they're out of their minds. Obviously, they are at the dorm, and they're going crazy outside. I hear them.
Yeah.
They're like a bunch of goddamn Marines or something.
Yeah, they are. They're just, like... I'm just trying to reach the window and close the thing. Okay, there's
nothing. Oh, my Lord. So, let's see. What are we talking about? Let's see.
Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man. What happened for me was Tim got in there by being put in there, by just being put in there. I got voted by the public into it, which really honors the fuck out of me. I got in the Texas Music Hall of Fame in 1985. Shortly after the Big Boys broke up, and it was like each March here, this newspaper here in the city, the Austin Chronicle,
right,
had like a musician's poll, who's your favorite musicians. I was voted in, and they inducted two people that year into the Texas Music Hall of Fame, and I was one of them, and I believe Freddie King, the old blues guitarist, was the other one. Here in the past 6 to 7 years, the Austin Chronicle has chosen three people, not a vote by the public, to put in the Austin Music Hall of Fame, and he was chosen by that newspaper, not a public vote, to be put in there. So he's in there, and I'm in there, and it is very, very honorable for both of us, because my name is right by Willie Nelson's, by Jerry Jeff Walker, by Buddy Holly, by Lightnin' Hopkins, by Tim Kerr, by Rocky Erickson. So, you know, I'm in a group, and Tim is in a group of maybe 50 people that they call the Texas Music Hall of Fame. And that makes me feel like I'm about 1,000 feet tall, and that I was voted in by the public, my peers, saying, Randy, we believe in you enough that I must vote for you to get into this. I I literally cried. I thought it was the coolest thing that had ever happened in my life. You know, so I feel really good about it. And every time that poll comes out every year, I look at that and go, oh my God, I really am part of this, and I really did do something that made, obviously, somebody say that, you know. So it's cool. It's really cool. And, so, you know, and they have that every year, so it's a very special thing.
Do you feel as if your musical tastes have changed since the Big Boy days, and if so, how?
Well, in some degree, yes. I feel like I like music that is a lot more substance than what, you know, basic hardcore. I never was really a hardcore fan, I'll tell you the honest truth. It's real heavy, hardcore, I still don't like. I want more. Only because I grew up as a musician with melody in my head and, you know, singing in choirs that had 18-part harmony and stuff like that. I always felt like there should be a little bit more, but back then, you know, I will never detract for anything that happened back then because it was really good back then. Things that are now, I really enjoy too, and, you know, things like, you know, I'll go ahead and say it, Nine Inch Nails and some of these people like this that are using melody to no end and so beautiful, but still making it so powerful by beating on railroad tracks and recording it and squeezing it and making it sound like the end of the world. That's my favorite things right now, is to, you know, really good driving melodic music, but having just terror-filled rhythms to it, you know, where it sounds like you would be listening to the soundtrack to the movie Brazil, or, you know, like something that's like, you know, a cross between Nine Inch Nails or something out in there like that, that's so good and powerful. Because that's what I need. I really enjoy that. It's hard to cite people because I don't want to ever really go get to buy very many records. Aphex Twins I like a lot. They're rather strange. You know, those guys inspire me a little bit. Like I said, Low Pop Suicide, Zymox, some of the old Zymox.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Zymox.
Some of the strange, weird stuff like
crazy
that.
Stuff,
pretty
man.
Cool, you know. And, you know, what it seems like for me is what I get to go to the used CD place or that I get to buy garage sales is what happens for me most of the time. And, you know, man, I'll turn right around and I will listen to Emmylou Harris. I'll turn right around and I'll listen to Leanne Rimes. I'll turn around and listen to Maria Callas, the opera star. Jean-Michel Jarre from France, his ambient weird stuff. I want all of it. I don't particularly like rap and I don't particularly like reggae, but let me tell you what, I'll listen to all of it. And I've never pigeonholed myself and said it's got to be this and it's got to be this, because it's all of that. And those people are just as happy with their life in Cuban rhythms as I am happy in rock and roll, you know, so it is good for all of us.
All right, let's see here. What did being in the Big Boys do for you? The big question.
What was the big question that got answered, so to speak?
Right.
I don't know. The joy of sharing my life and my abilities as an artist with other friends, and them inspiring me back to get to do what I enjoy to do and to accept me for who I was and encourage me to do more, because the art, you know, the art rock punk scene was totally off the wall to the world, and that I have been accepted by the scene and given the encouragement by the scene and my peers has blessed me completely. You know, I mean, I did stuff a lot in art and stuff like that, but for to have been in this situation to where I got to go in front of the public, it's been incredible, because I've been accepted. I got accepted finally for who I was, instead of like, hey, the fat jerk that's just the goofy fucking, you know, that's the guy at the back of the room or something like that. I was always seemingly repressed because I was the outside person, because I would not accept the rigid norm. Like, I didn't grow up to be a frat, I didn't grow up a rich kid, I didn't grow up any of that. I grew up as an outlaw on the outside, and my beauty inside my heart came from what I strove for to make art happen inside my mind and what I searched for, and I made it happen. I made it happen, and I'm proud of myself and that I did. I was encouraged by my friends and I think that's what I learned a lot, was to be proud of who I am. And don't accept criticism unnecessarily when you know you're right. To stand on your own 2 feet and accept it, that you are a God inside yourself, as we all are. And you got something to offer. Don't ever give up.
What is or was your favorite place to play in Austin now and then?
Probably my very favorite place to play was, of course, Raul's, because the spirit was there. And I must say that was the early Raul's, as Raul's was owned by Joseph Gonzalez, that had the Conjunto bar. He got his health in bad situation, and then he finally sold it to this other guy who stripped away a lot of the spirit and cleaned it all up. The vibes were still there, but it just was different. You know, if you like going and vacuum a house, it's different.
Right.
But that, in true all honesty, probably was some of my favorite places to play. And Rock Island in Houston, Sleaze Bar, if you've ever seen one. We used to go there with the Dicks and just raise unholy hell fun, have a blast, because it was like, you know, the pit, the place to go. And Austin had a lot of venues, like, you know, as I say, Clubfoot, Dick's Royal Cochin, Sparky's, a lot of outside venues, but Raul's probably was our home base and where I started and where I was accepted tremendously by my peers, you know, at that very spot of concrete. So I will hold that in my heart forever. It's what I drive by that building now and go, I launched a life in that building right there, so it's cool.
What is or was your favorite place to play anywhere in the world?
God, that's crazy to say. Oh, man. I don't know. Sure had fun at CBGB's. We played there probably 3 times, and any of those times, we fucking tore it up. And I've even read in New York that people saw that show, and they said we just cooked. You know, I mean, we did so good, because I think we were just so proud of where we were at the time to be playing. Man, it was like CBGB's. My God, this is it. This is where everybody came from. You know, the Ramones, the Television, Blondie, all those people. So we were there, and we were tearing it up, and it just made me feel so good to, like, I was in the biggest city in the world. My friends, you know, that was always really fun. And, of course, probably, you know, here in the South, of course, Raul's just had to be, because that was my smiley face peers right there pressed against me in the happening. So, you know, those two places stirred me tremendously. And playing in Madison, Wisconsin, probably if I had a third choice, because of in that goofy little church, because of those kids' feelings and what they taught me to do. And I was, you know, sometimes, you know, twice and three times old as those kids, but they taught me. So it was cool.